Hi, group. I'm Jonathan. I'm an addict. It's a pleasure to be here. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
They got the feedback out the mic now. Let's see. Don't stand directly in front of me. Stand to the side. Can y'all hear? All right. Because, I can't get loud. And, but I don't think with that tone, it's kind of hard to hear a message when somebody's yelling and screaming at you. At least that's for me. Because, I don't take too kindly to hollering and yelling and screaming. I get a little excited because I'm a veteran, too. Thank you for thanking me. Anyway. Well, see, I'm a military veteran, then I'm a veteran from the street. Okay, so, yeah, because I used drugs for like 24 years. And I think the first thing I picked up was in 1964. Okay? And my birthday was Wednesday. This Wednesday? Right. I just turned 68. Okay? Right. 68. And when I got here, it was 1987. So between 64 and 87, it was on. Right? And because of that, when they talk about this topic of gifts being wrapped in strange packages, but between those years and everything that I did to myself, one of the first gifts I got was a gentleman told me to go to the doctor, a predecessor. He said, go to the doctor. And I was like, why would he say that? Would I, look like I'm about to die or something? I didn't know. But what he was saying was all of them years of using, I had to do something to myself. And I might want to go see. I might could catch something early. I don't know. But I took that to heart. And because I was employable now, because I wasn't, chasing and trying to get another one, I was able to go to work. And as a result of going to work, I had insurance. So I could use the insurance and go check on my health at that age, at that time, after having gone through everything I've gone through using. So I'm suggesting that to anybody in here, if you got any kind of fear of checking, check. It's best to know. At least you can have some type of program to deal with whatever it is you find out. Right? Because if, when you don't investigate and you think stuff goes away, what actually happens is it grows and develops in the dark. And then when it comes to the light, you don't even recognize it. Right? So that thing, and I took a lot of suggestions back then, because when I got here, it was May 10th, 1987. And that was just a no-nonsense period. N.A. was kind of just getting its feet around that time. As a matter of fact, we had just had the basic text came up. Because 2 years before that, I don't even think it was being printed. When my sponsor came, he said all he had was a little white book. We got a lot of literature now. We got a lot of things we can point to and use for references. Those are gifts. But make no mistake, those gifts came from addicts, just like you and me, who decided not to pick up and deal with whatever life was given them. And they thought enough to write about it, to put it in a form that you could use for reference. But you got to get your own experience. And that's only going to happen if you stay clean. See, because it's impossible to work step one and use. Follow me? As soon as you pick up, that's the end of step one. That's the end of that, So they was trying to say to me, don't try to work these steps under the influence. What we would like you to do is just stay clean first. You know, don't jump in the ninth step. You want to make amends and all that. Don't do that. You know? Because some people ain't ready. They still burning and seething from the shit you did to them. They don't care that you got a 90-day key tag. Yeah. They remember what you did. They'll stick that key tag up your ass. And then you'll be in a meeting trying to share about that, you know. When you should have talked to your sponsor first and your ass would be okay, you know. Because I'm sure he'd have told you, shut the fuck up. Don't say nothing. Just be quiet. Let them think what they want to think because they're going to think it. And they got a right to. Look what you did. Let me put it on me. Look what I did. Right? And so, strange, wrapped in strange packages. And see, that part kind of like, I'd be like, what's strange? And basically, when I think about it, everything is strange. Because I had never been in this place before. I have never done anything like this before. So anything that's new and strange automatically is going to have me questioning. Now, what is this? What are y'all doing? How come everybody's hugging each other? Men hugging men. Women hugging women. They smoking in the meeting. And everybody's laughing and drinking coffee. Something's going on. This is some kind of cult. You know, y'all remember the Kool-Aid man, don't you? Some of y'all might be too young. Y'all don't remember Jim Jones in Guyana? Yeah, yeah, they drank the Kool-Aid, what happened? They was probably smiling and hugging too. Before that poison kicked in, you know. Anyway, so that's how I was looking at y'all. Suspicious. You know, coming out of uptown Northwest in D.C., living there and dealing with the disease of addiction throughout my life in D.C., I was suspicious of everybody. So I wasn't going to walk in the room with Narcotics Anonymous with y'all hugging and laughing and drinking coffee and smoking, and y'all had the camaraderie and everything, and I'm trying to figure out what's really going on. Because still, you know, I'm a little cloudy in my thinking. I'm not all the way detoxed. Sometimes when I open my mouth, maybe a little smoke might come out or something like that. Oh, y'all ain't, right. Somebody got smoke in their mouth now. Right. Anyway, so, you know, so I look. And I paid attention, and that's something that our literature suggests, and that was a gift too, to be able to read and comprehend after all the stuff I did. And I think I saw that in there, you know. He's talking about we read and comprehend, but the difference is the other gift, like Milton was talking about. Milton did a great job, y'all. Yeah. But what he was talking about is like I got a sponsor. And the sponsor kind of guided me into the step work. He basically told me whatever step he was working on, he invited me to participate. But when it came down to the results had to be for me. It wasn't for him. As a matter of fact, he wasn't one of those kind of guys that when I wrote something, I gave it to him. You know, he didn't like, you know, homeschool it and give me a grade or nothing like that. As a matter of fact, when I handed it to him, he handed it back. Told me it wasn't his, it was mine. And I didn't quite understand that because so much labor I had put into it, I wanted, you know. Man! But he gave it back to me, I had a resentment. Like, I said, I'm going to get another sponsor, you know. Y'all, I'm the only one, right? Anyway. But the reality was that helped me to start to do the introspection on myself, to start to look at me. There was the biggest gift because I was the grand beneficiary of anything I do. You know, I mean work-wise, because I'm also the one who gets the consequences for everything I do. So it's either going to be a benefit or a consequence. I can't blame it on my sponsor, my network, and the people that was in the meeting. I can't charge nobody else, my family, or, you know, the history, you know, the government. You know, I want to, it's not me, but it is. And see, the step work is what helped me to see that, that it is me. To this day, you know, I 30 years clean, next month, 31. But that's that's clean time. That ain't 31 recovery. It's different. I don't know if y'all know that, right? I've been clean. I've been abstinent for over 30 years. But I work at recovery daily. And some days, I don't even do no work on it. Some days I'm a straight asshole, right? And I know it. And I've been blessed and fortunate because nothing really terrible, terrible has happened to me as a result of being in that space. What I get is a view of myself, as they say, it's hard to see the picture when you're standing in the frame. So you got to kind of move out and look. So we got other steps to help us do that. You know, we got 4-step inventory. We got a 10-step where we can redo it, spot check. We got some stuff to help us take a look at us instead of pointing the finger. My parents didn't do me like this, blah, blah, blah. I should have had this type of household, this type of, you know, religion or whatever. None of that. I can't blame it on. See, because I made decisions even with information. I made some without the information. And some of the things that I have done that somebody would judge or maybe say, man, dang, you should have never done that. Through the process, it turned out to be a very good thing because I could have never predicted the outcome. Even to this day, when they say pray, plan, but just don't plan the results. Don't plan the end of it, because the thing you put into action may not come out the way you desired, but it's still going to come out. And saying that's what I had to understand, that it's a power greater than me working all the time that got me here. And as a result of that, that's a gift in itself. And it's strange because, you know, I mean, I used that power when I was copying. Yeah. Because I was praying that I had the right shit. That I didn't get beat again. You know, I was praying. Hoping to God this was the good shit, right? Yeah, so I know y'all ain't do that, right? And then when I got here, you know, I began to use the same prayer type of thing put into effect because I was experiencing things, having the drugs come out. You know what happens when the drugs come out? You're not anesthetized anymore, so the feelings come to life. And that's what I suffer from. I have a feeling illness. I have a disease that I don't really know how I'm going to feel until I'm confronted with something. I'm going to give you an example. Like I said, I'm a veteran. So I had about, 22, 23 years clean. I made some decisions that caused me to be homeless. And I don't mean living on the street, derelict bump, but if your name ain't on the lease, you're homeless. You're living in somebody else's house. Right, so by me being a veteran, I was able to use my VA benefits and work in what they call a CWT program, Comprehensive Work Therapy. And as a result of that, they allowed me to live in a transition house called McDermott House. The only condition was that I had to take a slip to the meetings and have it signed to show that I attended self-help groups. Which, and I'm like, I got 23 years clean. I don't need no damn slip. And then when I came in the meeting and put the slip on the table, you know how some of y'all do. Y'all don't even say, hey, man, what's up? They just they get the whisper. I think he went back out. Dude, with his good sharing ass, you know. Now he got a slip, you know. Yeah, I'm going to sponsor him, you know. All that shit. But the reality, and then a few of them was even crack jokes. They was like, man, you know, I don't know, you was about 6 minutes late. I don't know about the time. Yeah. You know, y'all some cruel motherfuckers. Y'all can be cruel. And you know, I don't know, maybe I said something to you in a meeting or something and you try to get me back. But I had to humble myself and accept the condition of my life based on what my sponsor says was my decisions. Couldn't blame nobody for that. But I sat in that place. I took the humility. I took the gossip, the slander. I took all of that, you know, and I kept coming. I kept putting one foot in front of the other. And the next thing you know, you were supposed to be there for 6 months in that house. I was there for a year and another month. And what happened as a result of that is I was able to acquire a CDL. Well, actually it was a learner's. And I applied for some jobs, driving. And I got a letter from Metro saying that they accepted me as a candidate for a position to drive the bus. The only problem was I ain't had no license. And I told them, I ain't got a license. They said, well, we have VA counselors at the job that maybe could help you and guide you somewhere. Because the problem was, I've had a license, but I owed DC $3,000 worth of tickets, dating back to 1985. And I know some of those wasn't mine. I ain't get clean until 87, so I think they went back 2 years too far, you know what I'm saying? Anyhow, I shared about it. And lo and behold, I was blessed with the gift of $3,000 to go to motor vehicles and secure the license before the opportunity left to secure that employment. Right? And I've been there now for 7 years in June, right? And it's made a world of difference in my self-esteem, you know, plus I paid some of them damn people I owe. They glad, you know. You know, and I'm able to come out to conventions and, you know, buy registrations and participate. I'm able to do things and I feel a lot better about me as a result of that. But also, getting back to the health thing, I'm going to go ahead and break it down. See, because of my age, every year I have to get a physical about the CDL. So when I go get the physical, you know, they do the blood work and everything. So 4 years ago, when they did the blood work or the urine, they said, hey, we see blood in your urine. So we can't approve you to drive until you go see your regular doctor and find out what's causing that. And I'm in a panic. Oh, Lord, I got to work. They can't hold me on. I go to my doctor. She takes a sample and she says, hey, it's so minor, so minute, it ain't going to affect nothing. She signed off. I'm right back at work. Never missed a beat. And 4 years later, which is now, come up to the day, the last physical I had, they found it again. So this time when I went to my doctor, she said, well, we're going to send you to the urologist. You got to go see the urologist this time, find out what's going on. So I'm like, no big deal. I've been used to going to the doctor because those predecessors told me to do it way back then. I've been going. I go for everything. I don't care what it is. If you sick, I'll go, shit. So anyway, so I go, urologist checks me out. It was a lady, you know, and it was kind of somewhat humiliating because she told me to drop my pants. You know, and after she felt around the front, she told me she was putting on the gloves. I know what that meant. You know? She said, turn around, you know, bend over and squat a little bit. I said, she said, so I kind of looked at her to see if she was getting anything out of it. You know, what's going on here? What's really happening? What, you know, why did they pick this field? I don't know. So she says, okay, sir, everything looks okay from this. But now what I'm going to do is refer you, because we have to do, look into your urethra and into your bladder to make sure there's no signs of cancer. So I said, okay, so, you know, how do you do that? She says, we're going to stick a camera. It's adults in here, right? No kids in here. We're going to stick a camera right in your penis, all the way to your bladder. And I was like, damn, that sounds painful. I'm like, is there any other kind of way you can find out? What the hell, you know? You know, I got a little image too, you know what I'm saying? But they quickly took care of that, and just to report to y'all, this morning, at 8 o'clock this morning at the VA hospital, that's when they did the procedure. They put a little Novocaine on the tip and stuck that thing in there. And it was a big screen right beside me, so after that initial shock, right? I was able to look at the screen too and see what they was looking at. Right? I was like, oh wow, kind of got over it. You know, I was like, this is what we have to do. You know, especially at my age, you know, they probably, and some of y'all sitting in here laughing, y'all next. Yeah. And see, when I was sharing it with one of my sponsees and his lady was on the other end, she was like, yeah, see, us women, we go through this all the time. It's about time some of y'all get some of this. I was like, ouch, you know. Felt like a resentment or something, I don't know. Why me, you know, why my turn? Why not you, you know what I'm saying? Somebody, you know. But anyway, you know, I can make light of it because I was all in my head about it. And I went through the procedure. As a matter of fact, somebody had already shared with me that they had it done twice. So it's not anything that you can go through in here that somebody ain't already went through. That's a gift in itself. That's a wrapped up gift in a very strange package, because most of the time we don't even know who you are. You just walk in the door. We know what you've been through. We know what got you here. We might not know nothing else about you, but we know enough to know that you ain't sitting in here because you missed your bus. Somebody gave you the wrong direction. This ain't the spa, you know. You walking around, you know. Yeah, you belong. You one of us. I'm one of you. So everything. So that's why I don't mind giving you me. Because somebody gonna go through it. Somebody already went through it. They told me about it. And that's how it go. And the person who told me don't have the time that I have. As a matter of fact, they'll sponsor me. So I understand that also, that it doesn't matter how much time you got, I can get help from anybody if I'm open. If I ain't closed-minded and shut down and think that I've arrived and I've got to a place where nobody can tell me nothing, that's called a pedestal. And when you're on a pedestal, you're on that thing by yourself. You up in a place that people won't even try to help you. I think Milton said something about that. You know, you don't fuck with them, guess what? Fuck with you either. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you gotta learn to take that posture of humility and recognize that you're not in this by yourself, and that your greatest benefit comes from our diversity. Because we all got experience with something. And we brought it here to a place where we could all benefit from it. Isn't that great? Isn't that a gift within itself? You know, who knew that we could get this kind of help going through what we went through? Our process to get here. And if you like me, ever since I've been here, I've been in the process. One or another. I've gone through a storm, been in a storm, or just coming out of a storm. And the only thing I haven't done was picked up. But there has been some days where I'm thinking one would look really, really good right now. You know, when you lose that special relationship, when you lose that job, when you find out you got a health issue, all three of them things that happened to me on my process. And what I've done was use y'all, everybody. I shared it, gave it up, got it off of me, and I got help. And as a result of that help, I got through it. And I got through it, so now I'm in a position where I can tell you what I went through and how I got through it. And I'm in that position because people did it with me. They told me what they experienced with their relationship, with their job, with their health. So I do the same thing, you know, and I still benefit from it. Because now, but like I was all in my head this morning, and it was like, damn, man, why you pick Friday? Why you pick the day of the convention? I've been on vacation all week, but they only do it on Friday. So my off days are Sunday and Monday, so I was going to have difficulty getting a Friday, but I already had one to come here. So I was like, how soon can I get it? They said 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. I'll take it. And I took it. And I was able to leave there, go home, throw a little stuff in the suitcase, get in the car, and drive down here, and I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm here with y'all. And this is the highlight for me. This is my vacation birthday weekend. Yeah. See, so I don't have to go back to work till Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to it. Can you believe that? Yeah. And how we know?
We won an undertime.
Oh Lord, man! I thought you know, well, I can tell you. You know, I got a lot of stuff I can share. You know what I'm saying? What y'all want to talk about? No. No. Really, I have sponsees. I have a sponsor. You know, we all participate. We do something we call a pigeon fest. It's like a family meeting. We get together. We try to do it once a month. So we can go over stuff, life-affecting situations. Some stuff may not be in the book, just the way we're experiencing it. It might be in there. You have to look, you know, really hard. This particular topic came out of one of our new books, The Journey Continues, Living Clean. And, you know, so we have a lot of information that we can use. You know, the self-help group or the home group, the home meeting that we have, we go over life situations. You know, we're dealing with relationship issues, employment issues, health issues. We deal with issues that we have with other people in the program, at the group conscious, at the, you know, I ain't want to say this, you know, like even here, this area, you know, we have a meeting coming up the 21st of April. I think it's the regional meeting. It's going to be in Frederick. You know, and they trying to do some different stuff. I don't know if y'all know about the Carr Report. About some motions that's been put up to kind of like do an accounting of what the World Service Office does. And I think South Florida put in a motion, and another area seconded, and it went to the World Service Office to entertain it. And I think they kind of like shot it down or didn't get there yet, and it's talking about being accountable, pretty much. It's like some groups I attend, and they pass the basket, and we put money in that basket. Then at the end of the meeting, or secretary's report, halftime, whatever you want to call it, they give a report of how much money they took in, how much they have, and what they're going to do with it, right in your face. Or if they don't do that, they have it on the table so that any member that's in that meeting can come up and say, can I see, you know, account of what's going on with this group? And they'll present it. Maybe not just give it to you, but they'll let you look at it because they don't have nothing to hide. They want you to see. So if a request like that is made to the area, the region, or the world, then they should be able to do the same thing the group does. And if they don't, what kind of questions does that put in your mind? Well, in my mind, make me think you got something to hide. Something ain't quite going right, and then that puts a sour taste in me, and then it makes me think back to how only a few of us do the work, and the rest of us benefit. And it's been like that. So these are some of the things that happen when you don't participate. You know, they can pretty much do what the hell they want, because ain't nobody coming to find out what it is they do. And then when you do it, they've been doing it for so long, they got stuff in place where you have to jump some hurdles to get to a simple solution as, can I see the book? They're going to say, well, what book? That's kind of vague. What book are you talking about? We have many books. And then you got to do another motion. You got to run it through the process again, and by then, everything got cleaned up, raised it, you know. This is straight. Now, when you ask for it, there you go. Just the one you want. So I'm just saying that service is a gift too. And the reason why is because you learn that, and it says it in our literature, talking about me as an individual, that I'm not all good. I'm not all bad. So if that's true about me, then I got to look at you and say, well, you know, you handling the money. You might not be all good either. But you might not be all bad. You might be open for a suggestion. I'm sure you should be open for some help. You know, so when we ask for help from the area level to, you know, regional level, world level, And from what I understand, and somebody could help me with this, that, you know, some of the service that's done at the world level, they actually get paid for. Okay? They make the same money anybody in that profession would be making that's not in the fellowship. And some of the stuff we do as service at the group level is, you know, by volunteer, everything we're doing in here, a lot of us, nobody's getting paid for this convention that I know of. You know, I might need to check. No, seriously. But it comes from a lack of participation in service. So the reason why, when I was asked to do this, I didn't hesitate, because that's how I give it back. You know, I have a home group. I have a commitment at that home group. And if I'm ever asked to come and participate in something, I find a way to do it, because I benefit from it. And I also know how it was when I got here. When a position came available, there would be a mob trying to get that position. As a matter of fact, they would bring people to the meeting that didn't even attend the meeting just so they could get that vote, so they can get that position. And it's not like that now. And I'm just talking about me, y'all. This ain't, you know, this is just my opinion. What I see, you know, is the same people moving around and position to position to position. Because nobody wants to step up. Everybody, all of a sudden, they done got clean. Now they done got busy. They got that good job back and that relationship back. And they just ain't got time to be there Thursday night at 8 o'clock. You know, to hear the same people talking about the same thing, you know. And I think that's just terrible. And we suffer from it. We don't even see it. It's in the long run. When we start to have these motions come down that's been looked at by world representatives, regional representatives, you know they're going to come out with zones now, right? You know what a zone is? A zone is going to be a bunch of regions in a zone so that you won't need all of the regional representatives to go to the world. You just use the zone rep. Yeah. So when that happens, and that's the kind of stuff they're trying to do, and they're going to do it. Right. They're going to do it because nobody's going to participate in service enough to say, hey, wait a minute, maybe there's another thing we can do. And when you go back to your home group or your group, whatever group you participate in, and they're doing the CAR report or the CAP report, and they say we need to spend an hour or two and look at this to see how this is going to affect us, what else are you doing? Sit there. Participate in it. Find out. If you ain't going to do nothing about it, at least you'll be informed. Because we'll run around here and assassinate somebody's character, and we don't even know why. Just because so-and-so said they was like that. You know, I've done that when I didn't know no better. But of course, in here they say when you know better, you're supposed to do better. I try. It don't always happen. But I make an effort. You know, but I fall short, and I'm sure everybody else does too. But when it comes down to, you know, this is kind of something that's kind of dear to me because I plan to participate and go to the region and something, find out what's really going on. We've already discussed it in my home group. And I know another group that I participate with, they've discussed it too. And that's, it seems like the feeling is the same. Like I'm not the only one who feels affected by it. And when I get an opportunity like this, I'm going to talk about it. And I know I'm going to alienate some folks. Some, you know, because a lot of people get pissed off when I share. And I get pissed off when they share. No. No, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not all good. I'm just being honest. I get the feeling. Huh? No, they can't. Can't put me out. You know, as a matter of fact, early on, my sponsor told me that. I used to tell him I had conflict in this group or that group. And he would say, keep coming back and give them the resentment. Yeah, and that's what I did. So every time I show up, they say, here he come again. I put my hand up, oh shit, he's saying again. Yeah, and I'm going to keep doing it. Right, you know, because you get the same opportunity to do the same thing, you know, but I don't have a resentment against you. I want your feedback. I want your participation because it's going to help me. If I don't learn from you, you'll learn from me. We'll learn from each other and we'll be better than what we were. That's how it's been in the 30 years that I've been here. I've had a lot of predecessors point me in the right direction. Then I've had a lot of newcomers also point me in the right direction. And I've had people in between just share with me. And our spirits connected. And without that, I would not keep coming. If I didn't have a strong, powerful gift like that, I would have been rolled out. There's a whole lot to do besides this. I'm just not built. I'm not cut out for it. I already know what's going to happen to me because I go to the extreme. I don't do something halfway. Never did one or nothing. Always did two or three or four. Even after it hurt, you know, and you get pain, you just think you can do it a little bit different. Well, I'm going to put half on first and then half. You still get messed up. So, you know, today, you know, we got 5 minutes. I'm not even going to take the 5 minutes because I just feel honored that you even wanted me to participate again. Because I'll do it again. If you ask me to come again, I'm going to come again. Some of y'all might see me again and say, damn, I heard him already. I did a little thing up in Baltimore at the, March Madness. You know, and afterwards, I heard somebody over at the table. They said, oh, John, no, I heard him before. I don't want his tape. I don't want his tape. And they was correct because we from the same area. They got more time than me. Shit, I heard that ass a lot, too. Yeah. So I was not offended, you know, not in the least. Matter of fact, I told them if they wanted a copy, I'd make them one. But anyway, I want to thank y'all for tolerating me and the committee for asking me to participate, and I'm going to keep coming back. Thank you.